The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Repairing the Ruins, the 2017 ACCS Annual Conference, copyright 2017. You may make additional copies of this recording for use by your school, but please do not sell any copies of the recording. Learn more about classical Christian education and the ACCS at classicalchristian.org.
All right, y'all, let's get started. I'm Jared Ritchie. I'd like to open us in a word of prayer, if that's okay. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless our time, help it to be profitable, encouraging to all of us, that you would be honored in this topic of music, and that we would be encouraged. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm going to run through here and say buckle up because I've got an hour and a lot to do, but I want to make this as accessible to as many people as possible. So welcome people to come on in and scooch up in the front. I don't bite, I don't spit, I don't drink, I don't chew. Or maybe that doesn't matter. But, so feel free. It's not going to offend me if you need to move or scoot over or all that kind of stuff. We want people to feel free to wander in. Schola Cantorum, singing school, familiar, choirs name that all the time. Tools for teaching students to read, write, and sing music. The term for that is music literacy. It's familiar to us. But before we go off on tools, I need to give you a little bit of my bent. What puts me where I am in front of you? What do I have to offer that I hope is helpful, encouraging? What is it that I'm doing? So I'm going to give you, hopefully, a glimpse into our school and what we're doing, whether you're doing something similar or not. Hopefully it will be encouraging. Hopefully it'll be challenging. And hopefully it maybe sparks some dialogue and some discussion, and spur you on to the things you're already doing, maybe challenge you in new ways. So first of all, I want to say that if you look in your outline, if you're following along, I am a firm believer. There's no wavering in me whatsoever. In my many gray hairs, of course, I realize that all people can be taught to sing. I'm just kidding. I have no gray hair yet. But all people can be taught to sing. Why? Because we're made in the image of the one who sings. I love the analogies to Aslan and to the Cimmerillion, but Aslan sang Narnia into existence. And there's a reason that Lewis wrote that in there. It's because we serve a singing musical God, a God who sings, makes music. No, it is not an operatic sound, maybe. He's always singing. So that's important. If you don't have that as a starting place, you're going to have a hard time fighting off the world that says music is extra. Music is, you know, a garnish. Music is great for test scores. The second thing I want to coalesce around today, the bent that I have, that if you're wondering, where is it that you're coming from? I want to see music taught, music literacy, and done in a way that is comparative to music and language. So, how did you learn the English language? Did someone teach you what a past participle is before you learned to say your name? To ask is to answer. You know the answer. No, you learned the English language because you had it spoken to you, odds are, and then you heard thousands of words before you ever said thousands of words, maybe, depending on how you are and what your personality is. And then you also saw your name maybe 100 times before you wrote your name. That's important for us. Because if you're like me, you grew up in a way where you came out of college and the last thing you did before stepping into a music classroom is you said, this is a quarter note. This is a blah, 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 right? That's not how you learned English. You didn't learn grammar that way. You learned it by doing. And if we can recover that, especially in the ACCS, where we have all manner of music focus and ability, I think we're going to be poised. And so you're going to hear me speak from that bent. And if that raises questions, I'm happy to talk about that at the end. I sure don't have the lion's share of information on this, but I sure am like you and up many nights trying to figure out, how do I articulate this? What's helpful? How do I think about it? All right? There's so many choices to choose from. Also, you'll see that the Kodai methodology, I am Kodai certified, full disclosure. If you go, oh yeah, I do that Kodai stuff. The Kodai philosophy, not to brag or anything, is more than Kerwin hand signs and solfege syllables. You don't have to raise your hands and think that, because I used to think it too. It's not a set of tricks. It's not a gimmick. It's not an add-on to your program. It is a lens by which you and a tool set by which you can actively pursue music literacy. It's done through joyful play. it starts with folk songs, songs that we've lost. So in a way, it's artificial because if we use them, we have to put them in our curriculum because we don't grow up singing Rain, Rain, Go Away, Come Again Another Day, or Ring Around the Rosie, or Little Sally Water, or other things like that. We don't grow up singing that. So it's not really our songs of the people. But it's not supposed to stay there. It's supposed to move you to Masterworks. It's supposed to be folk song to Masterwork. So the beauty of the Kodai philosophy in that way is it gives you tools and sequences to do that. It's pronounced Kodai. It's written or some variant thereof, but it's not Kodali, and it's not Kodai. You know, it's not Japanese. It's Hungarian. Zoltán Kodály was an 19th century composer in Hungary, and he believed that everyone could be taught to sing. Everyone should be given music literacy. And what to this day, even despite being in communist Hungary, to this day, the legacy of music and is amazing. Even stretching over to the Americas, it reached over here in the 50s and 60s. It's kind of taken off. But we really have a tool that lays nicely, as I'm happy to talk with you some, over the classical trivium. It lays nicely on the areas of development that we understand, and it really gives us a starting place. So that's the other thing. The next thing is buzzwords. If you talk to me long enough, you're going to hear me say doing music, not just knowing about it, right? That is something that it came to over a long period of time because I'm obstinate like that. But if I know how to make a pie or make a fine steak dinner with all the trimmings on the grill, the veggies, and the garnishments, do I appreciate that more than watching the cooking show that someone else has done? Even though they may have talked me through it, right? No, I appreciate it if I've gone through it and I've done it and then I've eaten it, right? Oh boy, have I eaten it, right? That's the idea. So I'm all for music appreciation. We need it. But we need it as a stopgap measure because to do is to know, right? If for those of you in your biblical references, without taking too much time on this, to know someone is to have communion with them, right, and fellowship with them. Think of husband and wife imagery there. To know is to know intimately, to be able to do, not to know from afar. That is not knowledge, and therefore appreciation can come. Now, I taught music appreciation in college. I loved it. It was fantastic. It's my favorite class. I taught three sections of it in the university. They would give me as many as I would take, and I would never turn it down. I mean that. Not because it's this great stress-free environment of lovely participants who just acquiesce to everything you play and say, but because it is a real ground for you to work your craft and face the future school board members in your community and city councilmen and lawyers that might donate and any number of people that may their only experience of music in a culture that has forsaken it, maybe you. And you are the drop of water on their tongue that they may never receive. So, doing music, not just knowing about it. All right, lastly, by way of introduction, when you go, you want to work from something. You've got to be able to start somewhere. I believe that money, budgets as they are, Kodai was onto something. We've all been given a voice. We've all been given a stringed instrument that's plucked, right? It's a reed instrument, a string instrument, depending on how you look at it. You can make a case both ways. But we have an instrument, and we need to be musicians first and instrumentalists second, right? We need to be able to have this music inside of us, internalize it, and use the instrument that God has given us, the singing voice. And from there, we will find that if we do this right and literacy is attained, then instruments can come alongside pretty soon or afterwards, and you can see a great amount of literacy. And instead, you will see something that we all see now oftentimes is button pushers, right? We see a lot of those, people that really can't, they say, I played, I can play the piano, and I took lessons, but I can't really read music, right? We see that. That's what we have a lot of times. And oftentimes that may very well be because they've learned the mechanics of something and they haven't picked up on the language, the music of it. So we've got to figure out how do we give them that. Because we all know that just because we are a good musician does not mean we can train someone else to do that same thing. So that's important. The next thing is bands, orchestra programs, choir programs, musicals, musical theater, all of these things should be regarded as a rhetoric and fundamentally a overflow of music literacy, not the thing that gives music literacy in and of itself. Now you're going to go, oh, why? It can if it's done right. But if you are performance-driven, you are going to be fighting yourself to get those concerts. I do it too. We have the Christmas assembly. The headmaster comes. We need to do this. We've got to do it. We've got to rote teach that. I step behind that piano. We've got to get that piece learned. We don't have time to read. But the reality is, would you ever in school have performed Shakespeare's Hamlet in third grade? No. Right? You were still learning to read. And if you did, you would be coached on that separately, right? And you might do a little work and you do a play. There's a time for rote teaching. There's a time for concerts. I think you need to have concerts. I have a children's choir. Started in second grade. I love doing that. And I think band and orchestra is great. There's so many things bombarding us. It's hard to get a course going, and it's hard to really file it all away cleanly. And sometimes we don't realize these things are fighting against us, and they're also distracting us sometimes from our greater mission, which is to train up worshipers, to train up people who can sing and make music and can contribute to humanity in that way. Right, that's they're made in the image of God, and so, you know, that's the starting point. So if you say, okay, I get you there, I see what you're saying, I kind of agree. So now we can jump off into the tools and the resources. But I'm not wagging my finger, even though I just did. So I'm not saying that this and this, but I if things were great, we wouldn't have any problem, right? We'd be paid well, there'd be plenty of us, we see our kids all the time. But the reality, things are not great musically. Our culture has forsaken that. Satan is very pleased with that. And I think the ACCS is poised, and we are seeing this. 6 years ago, coming to this conference, there was a round table discussion with 20-something of us art, music, and PE folks. Right? That's where they put us. Right? Now, we have pre-conference, and we have 3 and 4 sessions. We had Joshua Drake's session and Paul Munson's session. Wonderful, articulate, helpful things that are great. I admire both those men. Love their books. It's ironic. I held up Joshua Drake's book last year in that 9:40 session on Thursday morning, and here he was a year later. So it was kind of fun. If you've never read his book, Recovering Christian Music as a Liberal Art. It's a wonderful book. It was out of print for a while, except in Kindle. You can get it on Amazon. So for a while on Amazon, you could only get a $1,200 copy, you know, supply and demand. Not a lot of supply and a whole lot of demand. So, but I recommend that book. It's a good book for you. So let's jump into it. What is it that we do in recovering literacy? My PowerPoint is coming here. So reading, writing, and thinking music, singing music, that's the main thing. Literacy as a language. If you need a way to talk to people in your circles, how are you going to get them to buy in? How are you going to get your headmaster to buy in? Literacy as a language. Just the same way you learned English in saturation, the same way you counsel parents. Music needs to be playing. Okay, you may not be musical. Okay, you may not sing, but music needs to be in there. You need to put those resources available. Take them to the symphony. Listen to good music. Incorporate that in the life and culture. Singing in worship and church and so forth. These are very helpful things. As I said, the Kodai philosophy, the Kodai music pedagogy is much more than just solfege hand signs and Kerwin syllables there, or Kerwin hand signs and solfege syllables. I will probably do that several times today. I will flip something around and say, wake up and smell the roses and stop and smell the coffee. I'll probably mix metaphors, so be ready for that. It will probably happen a few times. You could probably have an over-under on that one. The other thing is, like I said, doing and knowing about music. I want to read you a quote from Kodai that's probably one of my most favorite. Because people think, with folk songs in Kodai, it's silly children's games. How is that going to get my children to appreciate classical music, fine music? Well, there's the case to be made that that still is possible. A bad taste is infectious. Bad taste in the arts cauterizes susceptibility. And we have to get rid of the pedagogic superstition that some sort of diluted substitute art is good enough for teaching. Nobody should be above writing for children. On the contrary, we should strive to become good enough to do so. Kodai had a very high view of children and literacy. He also was famous for, when asked in almost a fun way, Paul Munson's talking about the paraprodoxian. It's not that, but it kind of reminds me of that. Someone asked him once, when should music education begin? And he said, 9 months before the life of the mother. Wow. You know, and you had to think, yes, before the life of the mother, right? The saturation, the language, the hearing in the womb, as Christians who are pro-life, as you know, as pro-life comes, that resonates with us, and it resonated with Kodai. So it's important to think about that and to really see this guy had some flaws and some things that we probably wouldn't want to latch onto, but boy, he really was thoughtful and purposeful. In a world where we get music in every which direction, it's hard for us to stop and kind of ground ourselves. I'm hoping that introduction maybe is a little bit of a help to you. It gives you some talking points and things and bullet points when you're in the hallway with an administrator or a board member that you see in, you know, the Costco, that you can stop and say, hey, look, how's things going? I hear good things about your music class. And you can say, oh, yeah, right here, you know, and it gives you some options there. Every day in my music class, I teach in a K-12 school. Just a little bit about myself, I am in a school of only 140 students, which those of you who are in a much larger school, as I've spoken with some of you, it's hard to stop a train, right? That especially one with 75 locomotives or engines or cars, right? Ours is not that many cars. So we've been able to experiment, change course, kind of grow, kind of work out the kinks somewhat, still are working out a lot of the kinks, and we have some clunkiness. But every day in a blue room in a church that we walk in, and this is my first grade class, I want you to listen to them sing just a simple good morning.
Hello, boys and girls.
Hello, Mr. Ritchie.
Hello, singers.
Hello, Mr. Ritchie.
Hello, boys and girls.
Hello, Mr. Ritchie.
Good. Have a seat. I want to sing from my hands. You
want
to sing?
Morning greeting, and this was recorded the day my wife had a baby in early May, and the day I came back, my aide just grabbed the camera and we did this. So they hadn't seen me. My son was in the NICU for a week and a half, and so I was gone from them for a solid 2 weeks, and she filled in some for me. But this was that Monday. And I said, I'm going to see what they can do. And I used body signs, not Kerwin hand signs, right? Body signs, more tactile, more kinetic, helpful, so me and la. And I was altering my greetings, this first grade group. But what did you hear? Without coached, without taking, tuneful singing in the first grade. Tuneful singing, not, hello, Mr. Ritchie, or hello, Mr. Ritchie. You know, none of that. Tuneful singing. And did you notice, I did not ask them, so me and law, right? They are decoding that themselves, which is helpful for our music appreciation mindset. If you can, you start with something small and you grow into something. You can decode here. You can decode larger chunks later. What's the form of this? We'll look at that a little bit later. Something else I do, a tool that I recommend you sing with your kids. I recommend you have them sing a greeting. I recommend that your class is full of singing, even if it's choir. Something else I'll do, I would love for you to participate if you would indulge me. I'm a music teacher, and you do not have to, but I would love for you to stand and do what I do, if you don't mind. I will do it. No one will be looking at you. There's no video camera in here, which I made sure of. So I want you just to mirror me, okay? You're going to know this piece very well, but you want to talk about music appreciation for four-year-olds. You will have them. Some of you probably have done this before.
Thank you.
A lot of fun for you, a lot of fun for them, and there's all kinds of things like that. And I don't do a whole lesson of this, but we're listening and moving and singing, and it's human activity. Yes, it's the waltz in A-flat. I don't remember which books. It's probably, I think it actually is in his First Steps in Music, the big three-ring binder. John Feyerabend would call himself, it's Feyerabend, which is German for quitting time, they would say, fire oven when the bell would ring. But he is American. He was trained at Silver Lake, and he would call himself Kodai 2.0. He's kind of gone away in some ways from Kodai, but he's got some remarkable insights, and it's fascinating. He teaches on the East Coast, I believe, in Connecticut, at Hartford. All right, the other things, buzzwords that we use in the school, if you had to summarize, Jared, what do you do in your room? What do you do in your class? We work in the Kodai philosophy of sound to symbol, which reinforces what we talked about language. You hear first, then you do, then you understand, right? So how can we apply that to music appreciation? We hear, we do, and we understand. We need to do it. So how could you do that in a music appreciation class? Well, you could sing the motive of the piece. So something I do with my singers, I don't know if I'm going to pitch this in the right key, it doesn't matter, I guess, for the purposes of this. I did this with our pre-conference folks on Wednesday, so no cheating. Those of you who are in there, you know, they have to put up with me, you know, for 2 days, man. Unless you get a partial refund or something. So mi do, I'm going to use di do, right? I want you in your head to sing what you see. How many of you know solfege hand signs in some way? All right, how many kind of know? How many do you want to raise your hand in case I may make you to do it with me? All right, you just have to watch for this. All right, so here's the thing. Okay, watch what I give you. So me do, but you can have your own do. Largo, the Going Home folk song that we know as well. Yes, the Largo. Now, imagine the setup in a music classroom. We've done the good morning, the greeting. We sang, we might have done this. We might have jumped right into a game. And then I pitch quietly. I pitch this in the key, which it may be a D flat, or it's E. It's E. The symphony is an E. But I think there, in that point, it's actually a D major at that point when it comes in. But when I do that, I pitch that, and I have them sing from my hands. And then my phone is with me. I have my little Bose speaker. I turn it on. You know, I have them sing with me. You talk about appreciation. And you talk about something that they can do. And then we can build into form. We're tying all these elements in. So we're not just singing. But also in Kodai, we go hearing, doing, and then understanding. We also move from pictures or icons to notation. But notice there's a lot of progression here. And there's not rigidity. But there's really no sense in being in treble clef in kindergarten, other than the novelty of saying it, right? I mean, what's the goal? Do I want my kids to be able to read music, or do I want to brag about my kids reading a treble clef? Well, you say, that's kind of a false pitting of the two. Maybe it's uncharitable, but can we get them to read music without having them know that third line in treble clef is a B? Yes. We can go intervals, because Kodai focuses on, and the tools I've just really is been a light bulb for me, is working with same different. Really, in music, if you play an instrument, what are you looking for? This is not the same. This isn't, and then you what? Gradually grow. That's an interval. So what song would this be? Rain, rain, go away, blah, blah, blah. So me, but we could do body signs here, because so me, this gets confusing to the younger ones. So me, so me, so, so me. We use stick notation, right? Because we're bringing stuff that fits their frame. We're stuff that cuts with the grain of them being young. They can also write on boards. They can write stick rhythms out and do that in class. Rain, rain, go away. And that gives them stuff. And it's great for mom and dad. It's great for headmasters. They're writing in an age-appropriate way. Another thing is we can use what you'll see as a different kind of clef. More on that in a minute. Also, we're reading in first grade. That same small 9 students in that first grade, it's one of my better classes, tuneful singing in two part. So sing with me. Sol, mi, re, do. We're going to keep that there. Sing the top line, please. Ready, beat, beat. Ready, go. Do, re, mi, sol, mi, re, mi, la, sol. Sol, la, mi, sol, mi, re, do. Again. Do, I'm cutting to the chase, going through this, but what if I want them to go a rhythm ostinato? They can read this. I can put this on paper. This is from Denise Bacon's two-part songs. We sold out of it at the New St. Andrews, the conservatory booth, but it's a wonderful book. You can find it. Last year we sold out of it first thing. It's 50 easy two-part exercises. It's phenomenal because you don't have to do two parts. It also does on the staff. You say, well, how helpful is that? Well, in the back of the book, it's on the staff. So you're not, rightly understood, you're not just sticking with icons, but you're giving them something. Another thing, as I mentioned, the do clef in music. The do clef is like maybe you would see if you saw a tenor clef or an alto clef, except the key difference is a tenor clef and an alto clef have to do with what? An absolute pitch name. And what pitch is that? C. But in here, the name gives it away. The reference point is do and do only. So it does not matter what absolute pitch name. If one can sing, and you can use this with the hand staff, I told this to the pre-conference folks, the hand staff is beautiful for this. If I say this is do, am I ready to teach them in a few months or next grade level that this is an F, and would all the intervals still be the same if F do? Absolutely. G do? Could you easily see me putting that in there? That's the bridge into literacy on the treble staff. You don't stay in do clef, but a first grader, if I ask you to sing from my hands, if this is do following the first clef, do, re, mi, sol, la, right? Do. But sing from my hands, would you? Here's do. Sing what you see. Sing what you see. Okay, erase it. Here's new do. So, re, do. So, I'm going to give it an actual absolute. Re, do. Here's the actual do. Sing from here. Last little motive for me, please. Some of you know where I'm going with this, right? Do you recognize this song? This might be a way I would go into a song, go into this song, which is called Rocky Mountain. What I just did for you is this, the fourth phrase, do, mi, sol, la, mi, mi, re, do, re. Sorry, third, it's the third one here. Do, mi, sol, la. But do I give this to my first graders like this? Absolutely not. First of all, this is what we do. Can they function on this? Absolutely. In second graders, really can. My second graders sing pentatonic. Why pentatonic, you say? I've heard that before. You always hear everybody talk about pentatonic. Why practically? You could talk philosophy and physics of sound, why pentatonic? But just practically, why not? Why sing pentatonic? Well, fa and mi is a half-step relationship, right? And ti and do, it's harder to tune for a younger singer. It's easier for them to sing these whole step relationships. Do, re, mi, sol, la, do, la, sol, mi, re, do, la, sol, la, do. Right? Easy to do comparatively. So we would read it from here. Now, I will sing this for the sake of time because I want to get through a lot more stuff here. I've got a video of this in the United States. I showed another clip of this last year, but I will sing this for you. I don't know if you will put this in the key. Re, do, Rocky Mountain, Rocky Mountain, Rocky Mountain High. You can sing if you wish. When you're on that Rocky Mountain, hang your head and cry. Doo-doo.
remember me. Do, 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 remember me.
Yeah, I botched the hand sign there at the end. But yes, here we go.
This is Peter Erde. Come from Hungary and came to the United States, was responsible for bringing, this is in Massachusetts, these are second graders as best we've been able to decipher by asking and doing. We're going to watch a little bit of this. They are analyzing that song we just did in second grade. And I want you just to make a few observations, and we'll discuss that there. Just give you a little clip of this.
Now, I would like to know whether someone can tell me the form of this song. I need four letters for the four lines. Let me see. Jazz. Very good, Janice. Thank you. I'll write those four letters right here. A, B, C, and C. Very. Now, knowing this, I would like to ask four more people to sing the song. One, the A line, one the B line, one the C, and the C better. Now let's see. And Mark, Spiro, and David, please stand up. Ready? Begin. Today, sailing on the ocean and Rocky Mountain, and I would like to know what is it that these two songs have in common? What is it that these two songs have in common? George. Yes, they are both Dope and Teutonic. Is there someone in the class who could explain to me what Dope and Teutonic is?
All
right, Jimmy. Well, it has five notes, do, re, mi, so, and la. And it ends on do. Do we know another pentatonic besides the do pentatonic? Cindy. We know the La pentatonic too, but this time I would like the class to sing the Do pentatonic with me, going up first and then come down. Do. Nicely, let's show the hands nice too. Thank you very much.
Amazing rhetorical value there. And what it, this didn't happen overnight, but this is not a gifted class. This is them singing and coming into the room. A lot of Kodai philosophy today are not done in desks always. You want to be able to move and do. But this is a Hungarian man coming over to the United States, taking it, this and working with these students. And the tuning, it's about a 30-minute lesson. And it is remarkable to see them analyzing. So do you think they can find the development section in Vivaldi's Spring? Do you think they're, or Ina Klein and Ochs Music, do you think they know where the development starts when they're older? Absolutely. Do they need to have a take a music appreciation class? Absolutely not, right? Can you cultivate fine art in them? Yes. Now, what about their older brother that didn't get this? They need a music appreciation class, and how, right? But this is the way for long-term literacy that will feed a love of music
doing, not just knowing about it. We've got to keep going. So what do we do in the Kodai classroom? What is it that I do? What tools would I want you to be able to use? Canons and rounds. We don't have time to sing this particular one together. It's a fun canon. You can canon with them. You do your Kodai training. I remember this was the one that gave me fits when I did my level one. My solfege instructor was named Gábor Virág, and he was this crass Hungarian, and he was just, he put us through the ringer. This is pentatonic, right, with an extended sound. So you've got do, lo, la, do, re, mi, you have sol. Do we have hot? Do we have la, re, do, la? No, it's not. Yeah, so it's pentatonic, but nice. Do, la, do, re, mi, mi, sol, mi, do, re, do, re, do, la, la. Easy to go. I could give you an ostinato. I could say, sing this for me. Do, ready? I'm going to give you your ostinato. You're going to go, oh, this is so much fun. You can do this seated. You're going to go, do, sol, do. Do that.
Do, sol, do.
I might give that to you.
Do,
that means repeat that.
Do,
here I go.
Do, sol,
keep going.
Do, la, do, re, mi. Mi, sol, mi, re, do. Mi, do, mi, re, do, la. Do, re, do, la, la.
Funky, right? Tribal, pentatonic. But does it give them a sense of being able to sing and some independent singing? Absolutely. Did you have to break the bank to do it? No, you didn't. How do you get this into choir? I'll tell you what I do. I don't have choir during the school. I moved it to after school. About 60% of my students come, but I have some homeschoolers that do. If I want to sing this Laughing and Shouting for Joy, which is falsely attributed as Johann Sebastian Bach, which was an uncle, Johann Ludwig, so it was believed to be Bach Cantata 15, a little aria duet, soprano alto duet. Doreen Rao, who we know, a choral conductor and arranger. But it's actually Cantata 21 by Johann Ludwig Bach. So what did I give my second through sixth grade volunteer choir do? Unauditioned. They sang this. So, mi, so, mi, do, re, so, re, mi, so, mi, do, so, fa, do, re, ti, so, re, fa, mi, re, mi, fa, re, so, so, fi, fi, fa, mi.
But you said you did get a tonic.
Yeah, but you come after school, you get extra. I write this, I like, don't tell your friends. We always talk about do, re, mi, sol, la. There's something here, Mr. Ritchie. Yes, there is. Don't tell. Your older brother told you? It's fine. Don't say yet. Right? They're reading this. I give it to them. Why? Because as language, I want them to sound it out.
All right, just find the notes there and sing those.
No, I give them this. They can sing that. They know what so me is, right? Because we've been doing it. We did rain, rain, go away, come again another day. Mr. Ritchie doesn't want to sing that song another time today, right? Actually, I don't mind it because there's a goal in mind. I press on for something else. It's so that I can go, so me, and they come in on that concert with a string quartet, and they're doing this in two-part harmony, and I was able to give them the German as well. They did it in German, and they're not auditioned. You know, it's so much fun, but it was because we worked it through, so... Is this ahead of the sequence? Yes, but this is a tool I recommend for you. I did it with my church choir, I told the pre-conference folks. We did the Bach Break Forth, Obedience, Heavenly Light. We didn't have a piano. So what did I do? I gave them the score, color-coded, SATB, the solfege. I had my tuning fork, which when you do your Kodai training, if I play on the piano for you, what do you have to do? You have to hear your note, you have to hear it in here, and then you just have to parrot it back, right? You have to mimic it back. Short-term memory is required. But if I say, all right, here we go, do, mi, sol, do, you have to internalize it, right? And you do that with language. If I said, read my bio, please, you don't have to read it out loud to comprehend it, do you? You can read it in your head. You should be able to, as a literate musician, and you used to be able to, read this. And how do we practice that?
We start to mute things.
And what we're working is an imperfect system. So when I get to the dialectic years, they didn't have me from pre-K on. So what do we have to do there? Well, we've got to give them a fast-paced trek through the tools that we had, that I'm using now, that they didn't get, that I didn't get. Because So this is what we do. I did this one, I think, with the pre-conference folks, the music pre-conference, but we'll do a little bit of it here. This is the 333 book. I use this in my, this is Kodai's. They did this in the third and fourth grade. You know, he would tell us all these stories. He was quite a crass Hungarian. But he would say, yeah, we would sit over there on the side and we would just look at the dust that would come out. My mother was the music teacher, you know, and I would just pretend it was a fish, you know. What? But he would put us through the ringer doing this sort of stuff. These are the memories I have. But this 333 book is great because I can assign, it's on one side of the book, it has it off the staff with the solfege given them. And on the other side, it is on the staff with a treble clef. And sometimes they put an accidental in the wrong place. The F sharp usually goes at the bottom and not at the top line because it's just a way they do to help, because they don't know that top line at that point in second grade maybe, or I don't know quite the Hungarian system. But let's sing this together. Mi, re, do, we use F, do, here we go. Beat, beat, ready, read. Do, re,
mi, re, do, re. Re, re, do, re, mi, do.
La, so, my fault.
Do, re, mi, re.
I didn't prep you.
Mi, do, re, la, sol, la.
Yeah, the little tick below means low la. If you have a higher tick above, it would be maybe a high do would have a high tick, be high. That way you can differentiate, because that's what happens when you don't, right? You didn't know which one. You naturally went to the one that was closest in the range you've been singing in. Perfectly fine. That's my fault. Let's do something else with this. You think, that looks pretty boring. Why would I want to do anything with it? Boys and girls, I changed the batteries, I thought, and things didn't quite do. And so Ray is not working out loud. It's too quiet. Would you put it in your head, please? Make it up. You know, it's a story. I'm keeping their attention. Right? It's make-believe. Children learn through play. We don't overdo it, hopefully. Or if we do, have to not drink as much caffeine. And then that helps. That's usually a correlation. Put Ray in your head. No, you've been doing this a while. Would you put Ray and me in your head? There we go.
Do, beat,
beat. What's our silent sounds? We're muting it. We're not skipping it. We're just muting it. It's and
ready, go.
Do, do.
I do it too.
Do.
Do.
Do. We didn't sing.
Ah, so. Do. Do. La, so.
Now, is that not a point of concentration? Absolutely. So imagine going back to Rocky Mountain and singing that and muting it. You are working on inner hearing. You are developing reading. You are building their reading ability and getting them. And you're working on tuneful singing so that you can then go in the latter years. And if you have to do this in rhetoric, my seventh graders all have to have that. They have to have a tuning fork and that book. I work with them on canons. Let's sing this. How many of you know this canon? It's a staple, right? It's a Praetorius melody, Latin Viva la Musica. So let's sing this. If you can sing it on solfege, do it. If you can sing the words, do it. If you don't want to sing it on do, just any old neutral sound, do that too. Ha, do that too. I didn't mean to do that, but there you go. There's always a punniness that slips in. My wife chides me. All right.
Re, do, sol, fa, mi, re, do, ti, la, sol.
That's the wrong thing.
Sol, fa, mi, re, do, ti, do, ti, do, there's do.
We start on
sol,
beat, beat, ready, go.
Sol, fa, mi, re, do, ti, do, ti, mi. Fa, sol, fa, mi, re, do, do, do,
fa, sol, la, sol. And they can do this in junior high, and this is what we do. We sing it on words.
Ready, go, viva, viva la musica, viva, viva la musica, viva la musica.
Now, if I have transfer students that haven't sung with me, I say, I need you to do me a favor. I need an anchor. I need that last line on repeat.
So if you feel like, what is he talking about in here? Viva la musica. And you just repeat that. Or if I'm introducing the song, I just say, can you do this for me? Oh, no, do, do. Right? There's all kinds of ways you can introduce this. So let's sing this. I want you to pick apart. Can you pick apart? Either the one, the two, or the three. The words, the solfege, or just something, you know, that sounds consonant. Okay? Here we go. Sol, if you're on the middle line, you would start on mi. If you're on the bottom line, you start on di. No. Do. Right. Good. You play with them. You have to yank their chain from time to time. Do, mi, sol. Beat, beat. Ready, go.
Mi, fa, si, fa, la, musica. Mi, fa, vi.
Yeah, and they watch and you stop them. Lovely. Then you say, all right, John, I want you, Mary, and Tim, I need you to, Friday, you will sing this for me in a canon. On words or solfege, Mr. Ritchie? That's a great idea, both. No, I say, let's do it on solfege first, right? And what will I find? Down the hall, the school community is growing. The secretary loves me, not because of my charming looks and wit and my punniness, but because my students sing outside of her class, out of her office on the walkway outside. What a beautiful testimony of a musical people. Now, this is a stopgap measure, but what should our students be able to do in junior high and high school? They should be able to go from folk song to masterwork. They should be able to get into something challenging, like this, a nice 8-part canon. Rise up, O flame, by thy light glowing. Show to us beauty, vision, and joy. And then you say, all right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, you start. I will test you on this Friday. What will that test be? Singing together. Boy, their knees knock. Oh, boy. They love it. But then they enjoy it. There's tuneful singing. I'm getting them to read. But wait a minute. They don't know about Mozart. They don't know that he was a child prodigy. They don't know that the one of, that there is this lovely composition called the Moldau by Smetana. They don't, you know, and the Mavlast. You don't know Charles Dickens. And you lament, but you can't read, right? Seems kind of a backwards lament. Maybe that's the title for a talk. But we don't mean to do that, right? We mean well. We grab what's at our fingertips, what we had. And it takes sometimes just going, I've got to get them to do. How do I get them to do? You've got to take them through the sequence. And so what else do I put my dialectic years through, my rhetoric years through? I make them sing and play. So I make them go sing this hymn with their hand and sing it with their voice. They're doing both parts.
Whoa.
You think, never happen, never do it. No, they do it. They sing for me. And then the other ones will come and I'll say, all right, they do it well. I'd like you to do that on the piano, please, or on the guitar. I let them bring their guitar in. I'll let them bring their ukulele in. I won't let them bring their bagpipes in. No, never mind. But they will come in and they will do it. They will sing and they will play. They will not strum a chord. Some of them, so I figured out the chords for this, Mr. Ritchie. Excellent, right? Because they work. They discover. You are giving them the language that they can feed themselves, right? They're not parroting back to me anything. I'm not creating button pushers, or at least if I am, it's my fault and not this philosophy. This book is also out there. It's the folk song sight singing. Some people use it in oral skills in college. We did it in our Kodai training. It was wonderful. You had to sing it. They're book one all the way to book eight. This, I believe, is from book 8 or 9. It's the first one in there. It's a lovely, yes, it's right in here. Lovely book. It's a great thing to have. I found it so much more fun. But then where do we go from there? Okay, if you get them to sing, what do? Well, you can get a choir going. Talk about you not have to kill yourself prepping for a concert. You can say, I'd like you to learn this. Or at least you want to give yourself carpal tunnel at the piano as a three-head monster trying to play their part. Put that down. Stop. Don't touch him. Shh. Please, listen. That's not, you know, listening, conducting, eyes like this. You would drive yourself crazy. If they videoed you doing that, you would say, I'm going to be committed if they showed that to somebody. Because it's a full contact sport. And they say it's for girls. Well, that's neither here nor there. But then you can go in here and sing old music. You can go sing this modal piece. Which my junior high and my senior high, they know, Mr. Ritchie, that's a Mixolydian mode. Sing the mode. Sing it from sol. Sol up the scale, right? What? How do we describe the Mixolydian mode? Well, it's a major mode, Mr. Ritchie, with a lowered seventh scale degree. Why do we do that? So that they can win a question on Jeopardy? No. Why do we do that? So that they can brag about it to a friend? Absolutely not. But they can sing tunefully. They can access Palestrina and the Clemens that wasn't the Pope and all of this other stuff. And they can sing. This is a glorious five-part canon. Sol, fa, mi, re, do. I sang it earlier by mistake. Re, sol, fa, mi, re, do, ti, la, sol. Sol, do, re, mi, re, do, sol, la, sol, fa, mi, fa, re. Sol, fa, mi, re, do, ti, do. Re, mi, fa, sol, do. Lovely. Oh. And then I said, who thinks they could put a sacred text on this? And they did it, right? They came up with it. They did that. And I'm getting them to create. I'm fostering in them a love of this. I'm not just saying, you really should love this Chopin Nocturne. It's beautiful. My favorite, Van Cliburn playing this in such a way. You should know. They love this because they did it, right? You love Bach more because you sang it, not because you heard the recording. Now you don't always need to do it to appreciate it because you've done it before. You're using equity that you've had in the past with Bach, which is great. Like I said, this is from the classical canons. We've had this at the New St. Andrews table. I don't teach at New St. Andrews College. I am involved in David Erb, and I are involved in this Chennai Summer Music Institute, which is a Kodai training with the ACCS rammed together into a nice big thing. And we want to use everything we can do to maximize the Kodai philosophy, ORF philosophy. Some of our faculty is ORF certified, world drumming, other things, Christian and classical pedagogy, to help get teachers to be able to do more things like this. Because we feel like, what do we do? There's so many things. What do I? Chesterton said, an open mind is mind is like an open mouth. It's designed to close on something. And if you go to music education, what do you got? I'll take a little Kodai, like walking in me in the South, Piccadilly. I think I like some mashed potatoes, and how about a little bit of, I'll take some pork chops. No asparagus. Yeah, how about some of those green beans, right? I'll take a little ORF. I'll take a little Kodai. I'll take a little Edwin Gordon music learning theory. How about a little Kinder music for the little ones? Okay, I'll do a little choir, and I'll do a little bit of music appreciation, a little John Fire Robin, and then I'll just drive myself crazy because how do I put all this together, and what's my end goal? Literacy. Singing. Joyful music literacy. And they can do this. And they can tell me, what mode do you think this is? Well, Mr. Ritchie, it looks to be the Phrygian mode, the me mode. And yes, it is. It's a two-part canon. They sing it, they memorize it, and then I say, okay, I need you to do a sing play for me. I need you to go to the piano and play one measure behind or ahead of your voice. I have to practice. Me. And they do, too. Or I'll say, sing, and then you hand canon one measure behind. Why would you do that? You split your brain. You're able to do this. That builds their piano abilities, and their strengthens them in that way. This is my school. This is some snapshots of us using and writing and reading. We are small in a Smurf turf room in an old sanctuary, an old church. We don't nothing flashy about us. We are not huge. The dry erase board here, the joy on their faces. We do folk dancing, the New England Dancing Masters, and all that kind of stuff. When you're doing hard work like this, you need to spell them. Susan Brumfield out in Texas Tech, she's a Kodai teacher and a wonderful conductor, choral conductor, really marries the two nicely. She says you need points of high concentration and low concentration. And the Kodai teaches how to transition, like I did for you all, having you sing for my hands. And you're singing, and I say a mystery song, like I did for you. And we play a game, and I give you an ostinato. And you're moving, and you're not sitting behind a desk letting me lecture to you like I'm doing in this room. Right? You're up and going, and we whip out. We may use lummy sticks. We may dance. We are teaching them full body. It's not mind, spirit, and heart. It's body, mind, and soul, top down. If it's, we want them all of it. We're not Gnostic, unintentional or intentional. We're Christians through and through, and I want this person to be joyful. I want them to have a liberal arts education. And then the social aspect of this, what's fun is we stop here in a minute, we'll have some questions if you want, or if you're like, Jared, you're talking so fast, and you're also making about sense every 4 to 10 words. I said, I've got to develop a culture. Whatever is in my
grasp. And so on Sunday nights after some of the after we were at church, we'd invite folks over to our house or a friend's house, and I had given to me about 4 guitars, 6 ukuleles, mandolins, mountain dulcimers, banjo, and then I had some guys who played in the church, and then we'd call it pizza picking, and we would get together and make music. We would go through, we would do vocal cording. That's another thing that's so much fun to do. I'll probably do that with you. No, I won't. We don't have time. But where you split the room and you say, do, mi, sol, here's the 1 chord, sing it. And then it's do, fa, la, here's the 4 chord, sing it. And then do, pre-conference people, raise your hand. No, you don't have to. Okay, yeah. They did it the other day. Was that not impressive? Can you imagine walking down the hall and singing a song if you can vocal cord it? It's phenomenal. Then they go, oh, the 5 chord is ti, re, sol. G is do. F sharp, A, D. D, F sharp, A. That's a D major chord, Mr. Ritchie. I figured it out last night. Right? I get this all the time, like I told the pre-conference. Yeah, I figured out that Rocky Mountain or some other song like that, it fits great with the left hand of Heart and Soul. You know, you're like, oh, Heart and Soul, heart and casket, please, somebody. But when they did that, the creativity that was there, yes, that's what we want. The other thing is, David Earp is in the back of the room. School-wide. Sake of time, we do folk dances. We have music camp. David Irvin and I are leaving here, going to a music camp week long where we have folk dances, teaching people how to do, like I said, the New England Dancing Masters, some of the stuff that you see out on the table there. David taught the singers this. Is this the one? Is that doing the? I think so. Is it moving? Yes. This is the 12 days of Christmas to dance. What does it mean to be community? What is it, paideia? Training right affections, getting them to love music. Then you do this for them, and then you want to explain about the Smetana's Moldau. You want to explain this lovely piece by Liszt. You want to have them listen to the 4 movements of Beethoven's 5 and explain that, you know, short, 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 long, right? Because they know same, different. Eating right out of your hands. You've got the equity. You've done it. They love it. They feel like you're the best thing since sliced bread, and you're not. But you're giving them what they've been called to do. They've lived in a barren wilderness, and they just want a drop of water, and they don't even know how to ask for it, right? It's really helpful. If you can do this Chen and I Institute, or pray for us as we do it, or encourage other people to get their Kodai training, we are starting it up so that we can help the ACCS give more tools for you. It's not for everybody, because you can't always take 2 weeks off to go do this training. But this is certification in the Kodai philosophy. We'd love to tell you more about it. I don't have a lot of time to talk about it. I've got some brochures. But we have some things. If you're like, Jared, I don't know how to get this stuff into the right people. Who do I give this to? How do I talk about it? Well, my shameless appeal, my book and then this DVD that we have at the table, this is something you watch, you go give to a headmaster and say, what do we need to do to think like this? Not because we're geniuses, okay? But because we're asking questions that headmasters can digest and you can digest and just kind of get things turned. Like, how can I be creative with music literacy as my focus and not just being distracted in that way? And this book, you can talk about music all day long. You make a funny pun, or my title, my wife corrected me. I said, we should call it Recovering Music Literacy. She said, oh, that'll be great. You'll just have that collecting dust on the shelf. You put Bach to the Future and people grab it, you know. But I want to leave you with a quote from that that I think really brings it all together and the vision of it all. If you don't have a vision, where do you go? But this, I hope, gives us a summary of what it is I see as the vision, and hopefully
you can amen that in your own teaching, and you do this stuff already, even if you don't know what to call it or if yours looks different than mine. Fine, that's great. I like to say principles are what we want to be agreeing on. We don't have to agree on methods. We've got to agree on principles. Principles are the big deals. Methods can differ, right? How I raise my children, how you raise your children, within the scope of how the Bible gives that prescription to us, we can have differing methods. We need to be lining up our principles, especially in a world that's more antagonistic to what we're doing. It is transformational to give students the tools to recreate and not just to observe music. Imagine their ability to understand the world and the triune God in light of a musical understanding. Think of what that understanding of music structure can bring to your students when they are not only able to hear prolonged tension and delayed resolution in cantatas and symphonies, but also hear it in the light of the grand story in which they live. Imagine how, with such an understanding, they can re-echo the gospel in new ways, like the great composers and hymn writers of the church have done in times past. Think of the new settings of psalm tunes that can be written. Think about several generations being able to learn music from an early age in a way similar to how they learned the English language. Think of a time when most people have music training growing up, and "I'm just not gifted in music" is no longer a common sentiment. Think of a baseline of music education in our Christian culture that allows us to be more like our musical creator in his music-filled world. Imagine the singing abilities of our congregations on the Lord's Day, if the majority in attendance can read any music put before them. Imagine the multitude of ways the glories of God's goodness can be echoed and resounded through settings of psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs by the coming generations. Imagine moving from glory to glory in compositions like Haydn's Creation or Bach's St. Matthew Passion, or greater compositions that stand on the shoulders of these great composers. Work so that your students will understand the glorious skill in such works and can see the attributes of God in its excellence. Work so that you are given the gift of music literacy, able to read and to participate in similar pieces of music themselves. Works that they are given, sorry. Imagine your students' great-grandchildren growing and maturing in their faith and understanding of God's creation in light of the faithful stewardship of music around them. If you are patient, the future fruits of your teaching will lend great strength to the kingdom as you release students with musical abilities to worship and to create music with skill. More than bringing Bach to the future, it will be transforming music maturity for greater Bach to reflect God's unending glory from age to age. I hope that that feeds your soul, not in a smoothy way, but gets you to see there is so much to be done. And I hope that some of what I've done hasn't helped. I've been standing at that booth, and you've been kind. Those of you that have spoken with me, I'd love to do that. I've exhausted my question time for you, but you have my attention from now till 12 tomorrow. I'll be heading back to the booth. David will be there. We'd love to talk with you. I'd love to, you know, just shoot the breeze. So thank you so much. It's the new St. Andrews College booth right outside the main doors, and there's a big Chenaniah banner. We've got these brochures and all kinds of things. You can see these resources. So thank you all so much. You've been very attentive. Yes, sir.
Well, but I teach Chopin, but you need a right, where that's the only means. You need your part of variation. You're kind of a circle of partners, right? But then you change, mix, but you don't need a group of 8 or 16. You're already 2 in the middle of 2, so it's called content.
Yeah, it's like if you were partnering of it, it would be like circle dances where you have 4s and pods. I mean, yeah, but it's a lot of the same stuff that you would do. So it's very similar. It's right there what you're doing.
Hi there, sorry.
Hi, no, you're fine.
Oh, were you coming or going?
I'm coming.
Oh, okay. Someone else left their laptop there.
That's ours.
You got my dongle there. Yes,
like, I found some pretty straightforward. I like for this one.
Somebody left all this over here. What time do you have?
4:30. So I got.
Is your own screen? Do you have audio?
I do.
Okay, let's go ahead and play back.
What's that?
Yeah.
Go ahead and play something. Make sure we got a good level. Turn your computer all the way up, please.
Yes. We're up to 11th right now.